Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that introduction and for the privilege to be able to actually speak to God's people on a day such as this. Pastor calls it a priesthood of all believers, right? And we've had people speak here to us, people whom we relate with on a daily basis. And it's going to be, God is going to work in a mighty way. If you guys can help the lady coming in to come through, please.
There's something that holds it and it's falling off somewhere. Technical team, help us.
Maybe just change it.
Okay, shall we swap it?
Thank you for your patience. That's out of the way now. Now, apparently, I just read this week when I was preparing to come and speak to you guys. Apparently, the fear of public speaking is one of the biggest fear, actually the top fear that man has. So today, if I'm speaking before you, this is, you know, I've had to deal with that, and I thank God for his faithfulness. And even though out there, you know, people have to deal with that, I know that God is with me, and I know you guys won't bite, so I'm grateful. Amen? I thank Pastor for the teaching that he's gone through the weeks, and we've gone through, we've known now. Some of us, those who didn't know our spiritual gifts, now know. Those whose gifts maybe previously when we studied, they were somewhere different, they've probably popped up, and that is, we give glory to God. Amen? And so today, as I speak before you, I just want to check, first of all, it's good to see you, Collins, in our midst today. I thank God for you. I thank God for you, Rita. It's good to see you as well. I thank God because he's been so faithful to keep you up to this time. Let me just check. So what are spiritual gifts? Just the basics. Let me make sure that we know. I don't want the guys at the front here answering. I just want to hear from the back somewhere there. What are spiritual gifts and why do we have them? Anyone? Just lift your hand up if you're bold enough. Anyone? So we've studied spiritual gifts for how many weeks, and none of you know what spiritual gifts are? No one bold enough? Can I pick on someone? Go on, Ruth. What are spiritual gifts? Okay, that's a start. So the purpose for which we are given is quite spot on, which is to glorify God and to benefit others, benefit his church. That is quite right. But still, I want, what is a spiritual gift? And you don't have to put it in very big Christianese words. So it is spiritual endowment, which is something that the Holy Spirit comes and puts in our lives when we receive Christ, right? He puts in our hearts. He comes when we receive Christ. He comes. The Holy Spirit comes in our hearts, and he doesn't come empty-handed. He comes with gifts, right? He comes with gifts. Every one of us who claims to have received Christ has a spiritual gift in him. And what happens is, as you use that gift, it starts blossoming. You start seeing it just like a muscle, right? The gifts that I had the last time we had this series have gone somewhere else. The ones that are at the bottom, I've exercised them. Some of them have come really up. My gift is faith and giving. I don't know what your gifts are, but it's good to know that you have spiritual gifts. Amen? So the message today is slightly different. So I won't be focusing on going through the spiritual gifts again because Pastor has done that already. If you remember what Pastor has been saying, we have been going through this series so that we have the right people in the right place, right, at the right time and for the right purpose. And that means people who are gifted, right, in the right ministry, which connects with your passion, the thing that your heart is for. Right, if it's people who are in the streets, people who are needy, you want to go out there and get involved. And it means at the right time is the right time is now. Amen? And it means that you are there for the right reasons. So if you haven't checked that yet, it is a good time now to check why you are in that ministry that you are in. So that if you need to shift ministry, we will allow you to do that. I know a few people who are doing that already, and God is going to bless them. Amen? In many ways, as a church, we are rebuilding. We are rebuilding our relationship with God. We are rebuilding the way we relate. We are rebuilding the way we serve. And the main purpose is because we want to experience, we want to share God's love, God's mercy, God's grace. Last week, the Salvation Army were celebrating 150 years of service to the church and to the people in this community, which is amazing work. And their slogan, or if you like, the name that they used to just share, to identify what they've done during the 150 years, is boundless. And boundless refers to God's boundless love. God's boundless love that reaches out to people who are in need, people who don't experience love on a day-to-day basis. And that is what we want to share with the people out there. Now, the reason we have to rebuild as a church is because in the past we've got it wrong in many ways. Right? We've had people in ministries, but they had the wrong reasons. And we are saying as church leaders, we are not going there again. Amen? We are not going there again. We want people to be in the ministry that they desire to serve because we want to serve God who is mighty and deserves so much better than what we are giving him, probably today even. We want to give him so much more than what we've experienced in the past years. And I thank God we are seeing young people popping up in different ministries, right? Today it's just something popping one and another and another, and I thank God for that. Because what's going to happen is before you know it, it will be a revolution. It will be a revolution. And I want you people to believe that because God is going to do it and in our time. Amen? So what you see that, like, you know, in the community where we live, things have gone wrong. Things have gone wrong in our communities. You know, the way we live, the way the government leads us, sometimes things are not right. You know, we've forgotten where we came from. We've forgotten the God we worship. And we've got it wrong because people have turned a blind eye. We've decided when things go wrong, we'll just look aside and let it pass. Not in our watch, not in this church. We've decided that we're going to worship God in the right way. And your church needs you. Your church needs your gifts. We need each other. Sometimes we wake up in the middle of the night. Pastor and Irene have talked about this. I wake up in the middle of the night to pray for some of you because God calls us to pray for you. There is need in your church. It is not time to sleep. It is not time to slumber in the night. If the Holy Spirit calls you out to pray, this is the time. So the church needs you. We need intercessors. We need people who are ready to serve. We need people who are fearless and ready to go out and do an amazing job for God. Amen? So your church needs you. I want you to remember that. Now, today is about thinking about your lifestyle. What are the things in your lifestyle that could affect the way you serve? Maybe draw you back. Maybe encourage you to move forward. So the things that I'll focus on the things that I know have helped me and will help you to move forward in bringing glory to the holy name of God. Liz, if you help me out, because one of the things God is working on with me is to remain focused on one thing at a time. So I don't think I'll be able to do that and speak at the same time. So thank you. So when we pray, the first point I'm talking about is pray without ceasing. So you can just move through the introduction, and then we get to pray without ceasing. So the next one, yeah, pray without ceasing. So for you to be able to serve, you need to be in close contact with your master. So I know that whenever I'm working in my office, that I have to make sure and clarify my requirements. I do develop software, and I have to clarify the business requirements from the person who gave them to me to make sure that I've got the requirements right so that whenever we write the software we're doing, it's going to be right. If you are serving God, you need to know that actually you are doing what God has called you to do. And if you're not in close contact with God, you're probably just doing a chore. and it's not helpful. It doesn't glorify God. We're saying we want to glorify God. So you need to be in close contact with God. So why bother? Because during prayer, you gain guidance, you get guidance and revelation. God reveals to you what it is that he expects you to do next. He tells you what today is going to be like. Sometimes, like when you come, maybe you are serving at the projection or the microphones, you've set your mind on something. You come in, God just points you to something else altogether. It is important that you open your heart to prayer. Be prayerful. Be prayerful at all times. Prayer without ceasing means total surrender and dependence on God. That is, we choose to depend on God. You're saying, I cannot do this in my own power. Only you can lead me to do this. And that is what prayer is about. It's a conversation. Don't make it overly complicated. You just want to make sure that you are in conversation with God. You know what his will is and that you are effecting that will. Amen? And prayer is powerful. We looked at prayer a few weeks ago. I think it was at the beginning of the year when we were looking at spiritual warfare. The enemy knows that prayer is powerful. What does he do? He confuses you, brings distractions, brings all sorts of things that you get away from praying and you fail to pray, you fail to connect with God, and there he's got you. And I'm encouraging you today that you focus on prayer. Make sure you have time to pray. Amen? When should you pray? Before you engage in your day. The word of God says in Mark 1:35 that Jesus, very early in the morning, while it was still dark outside, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Many other versions say this was his habit. And so make it your habit that you are able to pray all of the time. You wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is seek God in prayer. Have time to communicate with God and make sure that you are in connection with him. Amen? And may I mention, for those who might find it easy to fall asleep at this time, the enemy uses such tactics. Stay awake. Stay awake because we are living in tough times. And if you miss out this, then the enemy will use that as an opportunity into your life. We need to pray throughout the day. When something is bothering you or winding you up, that is the time you need to seek God. In my workplace, this is going through turbulent times, and sometimes the way people relate, the way people communicate is not great, right? The culture has become so bad. And when that happens, I know that over my lunch hour, that's the time when I go to touch base with God. Because when I come back and God is able to use me powerfully. Amen? God is able to use me to relate with those people and tell them there's a better way to communicate than the way you are speaking. That is not the way you need to speak to your colleagues. Now, you need to be able to communicate with God to remember these things. If you don't, you miss out. You miss out and the enemy gains. We don't want that to happen. Again, you pray when you're going into a major undertaking. Last week we had VBS prayer and fasting. That was awesome. We had a good time praying and fasting. That was really good. We reached and touched the heart of God. And I know that God is going to do an amazing job. Come VBS, amen. I do believe in my heart and I know that he's going to do it because he's done it in the past. 10 great years of God's faithfulness. 10 great years of God's faithfulness. Our children have come here during VBS a whole week. They've had fun, they've gone away, they've spoken about Jesus, they've brought in their parents. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? I just thank God for that. So I'll be borrowing a few verses from the book of Nehemiah where you know they were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem after they had gone into exile, and Nehemiah hears the story of what is happening in Jerusalem. And the first thing he does, once he receives the bad news, he goes into prayer. He acknowledges God as sovereign. And then he presents the case of the Jews to God. Take every opportunity to pray to God. If you are going into a major undertaking, pray to God. Sometimes it may seem as if it's something you've gone through every time. You never know what the circumstances this time will be. That is why it is important that you reach out to God. Amen. and then study and apply God's word. So we're in a spiritual battle. Again, don't forget that we've been talking about that throughout the year so far. And we are fighting to take back what belongs to us, right? We know that the enemy has power, right? But he doesn't have authority apart from the authority we give to him, right? The authority he has in our life is the one that we've given him through the lies that he said, and he comes through the back door. That is what the Bible means when it says the enemy, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes from behind. He lies to you and makes you believe in his ways, but that is not what is acceptable to us. We remember from Ephesians 6, verse 17, the Bible says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Right? If we are going to be dressed ready for war, we're not picking a sword just to defend ourselves. We are picking the sword to fight. Right? If we are picking the sword to fight, then we are going to fight to take the territory that he's taken from us and also to take more territory. Amen? And so be ready, take the word on and be ready to study it. And it's not just reading, okay, I've received the daily devotion, read the email, read the scripture. My day has started. No, it needs time, take time to reflect on the word. Think about what it's saying. What is this word saying? Take notes, right? Study the word. Maybe find some commentaries, some people who've studied this word a lot deeper and find out what does it say and what does it mean in my life, right? And then let it sink in. Start chewing cud, as we say in this church, which is reflect and replay the word so that you can use it in battle. So we need the word of God on our lips when we walk out, when we face situations. We want to be able to speak that word and say, this is what the word of God says, and that is what I'm going to believe. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 and 19 says this, therefore you shall lay up these my words in your minds and hearts and in your entire being and bind them for a sign upon your hands and as forehead bands between your eyes, and you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you rise up. Why do we need the word of God between our eyes? Because we want to see every situation before us in the eyes of God. You see, it's a bit like a glass. You see through this mirror. You see this through this glass, the reflection of God's love. You see people through God's love. You see people through God's grace. When someone wrongs you, you know, you see that the way you'll forgive me in the way God would forgive. When people wrong you, you see a way to forgive them in a way that you probably wouldn't have seen before. You spread God's love. Amen? And I want you to get involved a little bit. So we're going to read a few verses from Nehemiah chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, please open up to Nehemiah chapter 4. And if someone from the back, somewhere there, please read for me verse 13. Anyone at the back there? Verse 13 of Nehemiah chapter 4. Anyone?
In the open places, I set there the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows.
Yes. So as the people of the Jews were rebuilding, Nehemiah set people up to serve. But as they were serving, they were holding on to the sword. And that is, while you are serving, you are in ministry, you need to grab the word of God. You don't drop it and decide, okay, now I'm serving, forget about it. Now is the time to see your service from God's perspective. Amen? So you need the word of God. That's why you need to keep studying. Amen? Verse 17. If I could have someone from this other side, at the back. verse 17.
Bear burdens with those that laded everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon.
Amen. So one hand was working, the other hand is holding on to the sword. So do not forget the word of God. Let's finish with verse 18 of the same chapter. So if we could have someone around here, please. Amen. So do you see, as we are rebuilding as a church, you need the word of God the whole time. You don't drop it. You don't give it up. You hold on to the word of God. So I say, as you serve, make sure you serve, but keep an eye on the word of God. Sink, or rather, soak yourself in the word of God. Amen. The next one is choose a generous heart. When you are committed to the most awesome God, you know everything that you have becomes God's, right? You see everything that you have and everything that you are as having come from God. You see everything as it belongs to God, amen? And you decide whatever it takes financially, whatever it takes in terms of my effort and my time, I'll do it because I want to glorify God. And so a generous heart pours out and gives and gives and gives. We see in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, when the disciples got people, the followers of Christ, starting when the numbers were building up, what they did is people were giving without bound. They were not holding back anything. They were giving without holding back anything. They knew that whatever they had before them was for God's glory, and they chose to glorify God. Amen? They experienced God's love and wanted other people to experience the same. They gave with sincere hearts. They gave sincerely and they gave gladly. Amen. What it means in our life, it means during a church project such as our building repairs, your mind is focused on the outcome. What is this going to do for God? How is it going to glorify God? Rather than, okay, how much do I have? Can I give it or not? Is it going to be enough for my family or not? You focus on what is it going to do for God's work. When we have a church event such as VBS, you think, what can I do in order to bring glory to God through my service? And so as VBS is coming, I'm just asking, we have people who volunteers. We still need more volunteers. Where are you? Where are you? Because the church needs you. The church needs you as the church is growing. We'll be looking back a few years from now, and we'll be counting the people who made this happen. We want you to be counted amongst those people. We want you to be counted amongst those people. Amen? You measure everything according to how it glorifies God. And then you reflect on the journey God has brought you from your childhood and has provided for you the whole time. And you are thankful to God. And that opens this cycle of giving and receiving, giving and receiving, giving and receiving, until you are in this place where you don't even know how it happens. You just know God provides for you and you are always giving. You are always giving. That is the heart we need to be embracing. Amen. Once you've experienced this lifestyle, it is very hard to go back because God is at work. Develop an obedient and courageous heart. Obedience is something that troubles many people. Obedience to the Holy Spirit. Many times we choose to go our own way. The Holy Spirit says things to us, and then we choose to go a different way. This is calling you to be obedient to God's call, calling you to be obedient to his leaders, calling you to be obedient to the Holy Spirit on a day-to-day basis. It means following his directions, even if it means looking silly sometimes. I have something I brought for you to see. these trainers? What do you think? Are they beautiful? Who would wear this going to run? Be very honest with me. These trainers, I bought them for my run because the ones I had done so many kilometers. And I chose this color. And when they arrived, I bought them online, as you do, because they're cheaper. And I knew the color, but I didn't know they were this bright, right? So when they arrived, I looked at them and I thought, I'm going to return those. But I put them on the shoe rack for a little bit, and then I thought, actually, that is good for me. And I'll tell you why I like these trainers. Every time I look at them, when I'm going for my run in the morning, I see this as the way of life of a Christian. Sometimes we may not look really cool out there, but God has called us to stand out. God has called us to stand out. Remember when I talked about things have gone wrong in the community and you know, people have turned a blind eye? We have to stand out. Sometimes it means we will look weird at work. It means we will look different at work. But you know what? That is what God has called us to do, to stand out. You know, if you go to a village like in Africa and it's dark in the night, it's really dark, right? My parents, where they live, it's really dark at night. And if you light up a small amount of light, it shines such a long way. And that is what we are called to be. A light in sometimes a really dark world. We are called to be that light. We need to be able to stand out. Amen? We need to be able to stand out and shine that light and that love of God. And so when the Holy Spirit calls on you, sometimes we choose to ignore the Holy Spirit and we walk away. And that is when sin creeps in. And it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit. It's not a good thing. It's not a good place to be. So search your heart. Ask God to wash out what is not His. Ask God to wash out what has become a habit that is not right. Sometimes it's probably not even a habit, but you just have these things that you do when no one is watching. It is the way to measure that is very easy. Just think about it. If someone from church saw you doing that, would you still do it? Would you still do it? It is a good time now to repent. I know there are times when I've been in prayer and God has revealed to me some of the things, some of the habits we've gotten into as a church, you know, people on an individual level, you know, and those habits are not good. It is time to reach out to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And He is faithful to forgive. We are not here to embarrass anyone. We are here to encourage and strengthen each other. Amen. Because we want to leave the things of our past behind and choose to follow God. Amen. And then, sometimes you just think, you know, in my service, you know, I'll get away with this. God is, the Holy Spirit says to you, join this ministry, join that ministry. You choose, I'm not going to join it. I'm going to do something else. There are people who've tried that. There are people who've tried that. Moses, he tried that at 40. He ran away from Egypt. He was 40 years old. He ran away from Egypt. Incidentally, I'll be turning 40 in a week or so. So, well, there's my age now. I'll be turning 40 in a week's time. So I do welcome you. I'll be at in Greenwich Park for a picnic on Saturday. So I'd really love to see all of you turning up there because I've been with you for the last almost 10 years now. And I would really love to be with you on that day to just celebrate 40 years. But yes, Moses ran away when he was 40. God called him back at 80, 40 years later. So you can run from God, but you cannot hide. Elijah ran away. He hid in a cave, and God came to him and told him, get out of that cave, get back to work, and anoint a new prophet to replace you. Ouch. So when God calls you to serve, it is time to serve. Do not resist, because he will find another way of getting you back to serving, and it probably will be so much later, as we see in the case of Moses. There are so many excuses people come up with for not serving. I am too busy. I have family. It's my weekend. Didn't the disciples have family, don't you think? The disciples had family, but they chose to follow Jesus. Sometimes we blame others. It's the leader's fault that I'm not able to serve. If they didn't help me, if they had helped me in this way, I would have served better. It's not right. I'm not qualified. Those were some of the things Moses was saying. But God used him. He just washed aside all the excuses and picked him up and used him powerfully. So where are you volunteering during VBS? Where are you volunteering every Sunday? Are you just warming the pews? Is that good enough for God? Is that enough to worship God? Elisha, on the other hand, when Elijah asked him to join him in ministry, the guy grew up in this farming family, and he knew, that's all he knew. What he did, he took all that he had, burnt up the meat, gave people to eat, and decided, I'm going to follow Elijah and to glorify God. And Elijah said to him, he asked Elisha, what would you like from me or from God? And he said, I want a double portion of your anointing. And guess what happened? Elijah said, if you follow it through the end, and this is a word for those who are serving, Elijah said, if you follow this through the end, you will get a double portion of my anointing. And that is what Elisha did. He stuck it through and received a double portion. Will you stick to the very end? Will you stick to the very end, or will you just drop off at some point? And in some cases, you probably think, I'm fine. I mean, I'm obedient. I'm serving. But is that good enough for God? Sometimes we operate in an area of fear. An area of fear. And when a new challenge comes your way, what do? Maybe avoid it. Stick in your comfort zone. That is the usual thing to do. I do that a lot of the times. You know what I learned this week? 0% growth comes out of your comfort zone. 0%. So if you're in your comfort zone, you're not growing. It's time to get out of your comfort zone. It's very easy to sit there and be comfortable. But when you get out into the area of discomfort, you start feeling, you know, growth pains. You start feeling the pain. You start, like I stand here today, you know, I feel, you know, that pressure of being able to speak before you. That is growth. That is when growth starts. I learn from my mistakes. I learn from the things that I'm doing. And that is how you grow. So I challenge to you today, are you in your comfort zone? It's time to get out of there and move forward. Amen? I'll give you an example. Saul that we know, the King Saul, he was tormented with fear. He was chosen to be king. And when they were looking for him, where's Saul to present him before the people? They found him hiding in luggage. The man who's been chosen to be king, he's hiding in luggage. When he saw Goliath, what was he doing? Running. He was fearful. He was so scared. And in the end, we see the death of Saul. What happens? He's scared. The Philistines will come and get me. What does he do? He falls on his sword and dies. That is the end of a fearful man. Now, on the other hand, if you look at David, he sees Goliath and he says, God is with me. I'm going to do this. Guess what? He probably was looking at the people who are standing there and fearing Goliath and thinking, this guy, I mean, why are they fearing? He's so big, I cannot miss, right? I cannot miss. I will hit you and you will be gone. I mean, I just added that there, but the truth is David believed in God. He believed in God. He knew that God was his strength. No matter what whatever they put on him, Saul put on him, he said, I can't fight with this. I don't know how to fight with this. And we are called to fight with God's power. Amen? God calls us and tells us, he commands us not to fear. Someone read for us Joshua 1 verse 9. Anyone?
be strong, do not be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Amen. Amen. I thank God for that, because he says he is with us. Amen. He commands us to not be fearful because he is with us. I'm told that do not fear as a phrase is 365 times in the Bible. I've not verified that, but I think that works out to one word of encouragement every day of the year. It says, do not fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. If someone else will read for us that as well. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline.
Amen. We do not have a spirit of fear. We do not, God has not planted in us a spirit of fear. And so what is it in life that you're fearing tackling today? What is it you're fearful of? If God has said he is with us, what are you fearful of? Do you believe that God is with us? Do you believe that God is with you in that facing that Goliath? And if he is, what are you fearful of? Sometimes you probably say, you know, what if it doesn't work? What if whatever I try doesn't work? What if it works? What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Trust God. And how do I know that God is in it? What you do is you step into it. You step into it. What did Peter do? He said, I want to walk on the water. He stepped out, right? He didn't say that and sit in the boat. He stepped out, and that is what happened. He walked on the water. And so you have to step out to experience that which God has promised you. And then, as you go along, listen to the Holy Spirit. If he says, this is not the way to go, step back. Try a different way. Amen? Step out and face the Goliaths in your life. David trusted God fully. And I want to leave you with one final verse. It's Isaiah 41, verse 13. It says this. If you've opened there, I'll just read Isaiah 41, verse 13. It says this, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. I will help you. That is what God is saying today. I don't know what challenges you're facing today. The enemy brings fear. God does not bring fear. I will repeat that. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of you, of your right hand, and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Amen? Do you hear that? I will help you. It's not me. I won't be there in time of need. I won't be there. Your friend, your brother will not be there. But God promises he will be with you in time of fear. He will be with you when you're facing those challenging times at work. He will be with you. Amen? So in conclusion, this is what I have to say to you. Ask God to give you a prayerful heart. But at the same time as he gives you a prayerful heart, you need to create time to pray. So there's something for you to do. Not just pray, there's something for you to do out of your comfort zone. Ask God for understanding of his word and set time aside to study God's word. And I mean study, not just brush through it and move on to the next thing. It's time to take on the word of God. Ask God for a generous heart. He causes us to be generous, but you have to choose and decide to start giving finances and giving your time. Amen. Choose to repent of all disobedience and let the Holy Spirit step in. Start listening to his voice. That is your action. You need to start listening to God's voice. And then ask God for courage to take on what God has assigned you to do. You need to step out in faith because God is ready to walk with you. But he cannot do that if you're sitting back and waiting for it to just happen. He wants to walk with you. So step forward in faith. Amen. God bless you so much.
I like a phrase that Bramwell used in a short while ago, that 0% growth occurs in your comfort zone. If you're in your comfort zone, you would not grow. You grow when you are courageous and you extend yourself. Bramwell, I remember 10 years ago when you were into this church, the only time I could see Bramwell is when we had tea and coffee around the corner. Then I saw him somewhere at the back, creeping. Then the next thing I saw him, he was serving in ministry. Then I saw him in leadership sitting there. And today I've seen him standing here. If he did not grow and he stood or sat in his comfort zone, he would still be hanging around just for the tea and coffee. That's all what he came for, nothing else. But the last few years, I've seen him grow, and I thank God for your life. God has put a spirit in your heart, and what you've shared with us today is important. We're going to get up to respond to what we have heard from the Word of God. We really want to pray and reconnect with God. For a whole lot of us, we are just too comfortable. We are not obedient. We don't have that stickability. We dip in and we go out. For most of us, we just are afraid. And I like a bit that you talked about Samuel. I'll pick it up in my notes and walk through the Bible at some point. He was a leader. Yet when they had